Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Is Triple M's Origin Rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Thanks to Bryden's lawyers.
And for the City of Churches, the 2020 series is underway. Cook runs it alive. Oh, little brother bounces back to Cook. Six tackles. Wow. Cook gets there. And the Blues have the first try.
Hey, Paul.
Oh,
that's...
oh, he got away. Down the side.
He was tackled.
Look at this.
Nice Cherry Evans gets it to Gagai. Gagai is into the backfield. He is trouble. Holds it up, Gagai. Then gets a pass out to Xavier Coates. Goodbye!
Comes to the right. Cleary. Away to Nedesco. The double puck front. Now comes away. Then Adokar. Adokar scores and they won't take that off him.
It's over.
Yes!
And the Rams have done it.
Wow, what a win.
Have clawed back a 10-0 deficit.
Alrighty, there's Dan leading the call team, and of course the boys will be back on deck this Wednesday night. So make sure you listen to our call right here on Triple M. Of course, this is the Origin Rumble. We do it thanks to Bryden's with Wendell, Ryan, Hoops and Maroon here. We're going to talk more Origin footy very shortly. Just quickly, though, we did a little bit of news, and a couple of Penrith supporters pointed out that we didn't mention a little bit of news around Stephen Crichton and also young Matty Burton.
Yeah, so Stephen Crichton is currently off contract with the Panthers at the end of next year. Now, there's been a bit of conjecture about whether he agreed to a handshake agreement or not with Ivan Cleary. Certainly, that's what the Panthers were of the belief. But he's now in the process of changing agents. And as it sits at the moment, any NRL club, because the November 1 deadline has passed, is free to come in and table an offer and try and sign Stephen for 2022 if they so wished. So I think the Panthers are probably in a situation where they're going to have to sharpen their pencil and try and bump up the offer that they had made him.
How long ago was that handshake supposed?
I think it was the middle of the year. Yeah,
it was
going to mean that he was at Penrith for another four seasons. Okay. And I think it averaged a little under 500.
Okay.
But given the fact that he was the Dally M Centre of the Year, he's now in the Origin squad. Yeah. You can see where that's heading.
But it's the old question again, Gerds, that we've often asked over the years: if you're a young gun like that.
Yep.
Do you take another 50, 100 grand, another 150 grand and go somewhere where you know you're not going to win a premiership next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to weigh up, isn't it? He's in a good place at the moment. You know, his centre, his position, that's another question. I guess there's some clubs out there that have seen him play a little bit of fullback as well, and he needs to decide whether or not he wants to be a centre, whether he wants to play fullback. He played a little bit of fullback there for Penrith, and there's clubs out there that'll play a good centre 600, they'll pay a good fullback a million. Yeah. So, you know, he's got some big decisions to make. But, I would suggest at this stage of his career, you know, he's played in a grand final. He's now made the Origin squad, that he's headed on the right path, and he doesn't want to do too much to rock that boat.
Mate, can I ask you, as a Panthers legend, are you surprised about the Josh Mansour stuff? Like, I know Charlie Staines is coming through and there's a couple of other young kids there, but are you surprised by what they announced? I didn't announce.
Yeah,
but,
you just can't keep everyone, Del. It's really hard, isn't it? And I like the way, Josh has played this year. He's had a few injury years in the past, What I think we don't see about Joe is his personality and the energy that he brings to that group and the experience as well. You know, he's probably their most experienced player, him and Tarmow on the back end of the season. So, how successful they are over the next 3 or 4 years, Penrith is going to determine, you know, everyone's talking about this dynasty that they could potentially go on. It's all about their retention and recruitment. They need to get these decisions with Crichton, with Burton, with Mansour, they need to get those ones right. Otherwise, all of a sudden, they'll find themselves back in the middle of the table.
The Mansour one's fascinating because he's so popular Gerds, amongst the playing group. Yep. And he's a senior player in amongst what's a relatively young squad. Mm. And I know that the way that it was done, it certainly caused some waves around the playing group. The fact that he was just called in, essentially told, if you want to stay, you can, but you'll be playing reserve grade in all likelihood.
It's interesting. Next year.
I've had that call.
Because they've had, you know, so much success with him and To'o, you know, averaging 200 metres each every week. And young Staines, we've seen him score a try, but bringing the ball out of his own. And we probably just haven't seen enough of him in those areas of the game. But obviously, they know, you know, they know what he's been doing through their system. They know what he's going to bring potentially to the NRL. And it's a big call, but as I said, they've got to get these ones right.
The other element of Staines is his best position, there's a belief, is actually fullback. He's come through as a fullback. So he'll start his career on the wing, but once he cuts his teeth and provided that he gets up and running, then I would suggest that we'll see him wear the number one jumper a lot too.
Boys, just before we move on back to State of Origin stuff, if now, Josh Mansour, I could think of a couple of clubs, Del, who he would be great for.
Yeah, certainly. As the boys said, he's such a good character in and around the club, and everyone that speaks about him, you can just see the energy that he brings. And as a winger too, I've watched him over the years in respect to what he's done. I actually said in the grand final, you know, he did some good things, but there was one play there, it's unfortunate, but when he went to tackle Sully, I reckon he left the ground way too early because he had this speed. I mean, we've all missed tackles at certain times, but he sort of left the ground early, and then people sort of reckon that was the game changer, even though Cleary passed that ball.
You're spot on, Wendell, because when Vunivalu took that intercept, he stumbled a little bit.
Yeah, I said
he actually hit the deck, and then there was an opportunity there, and I'm sure if Josh had his time again, he'd approach it differently.
I said to Gerds in the call, I said, mate, because he was running at full, the momentum was coming, and he just left the ground with Sully. He thought he had him covered, but those conditions, it happens, so unfortunately for him. But, mate, he's a class player, and Josh Mansour, mate, best of luck to whatever he does.
All right, boys, let's get back to talking a little bit of State of Origin. It is the Origin Rumble, of course, thanks to Brydens. And, boys, New South Wales obviously went into that game red-hot favourites to win. They came away. They were beaten 18-14. What are they going to do? How in their approach, obviously, Gerds, with these couple of changes made, which we discussed earlier, and if you missed them, obviously, no Cordner. For the first time in a long time, Angus Crichton will start in his place. Keary out, Cody Walker in, Nathan Brown and Isaiah Yeo making a well-deserved Origin debut. How do New South Wales approach this one differently?
Well, it's do or die, and they're always approached differently for the team that loses the first one, and it's always a little bit difficult sometimes for the team that wins the first one to go into this one with the same intensity in the do or die situation. But I'd like to see a little bit more aggression. You know, I think for the start of that game, I know it's been a unique season this year, but it kind of that first 20 minutes, half an hour, didn't feel like a real Origin to me down there. I have to say it felt more like a little bit of a club game. I think everyone expected it to be, you know, there was always going to be a little bit clunky because, you know, some guys hadn't played for 5.5 weeks and there were some guys that hadn't played together before. So there was always going to be some errors, but I just think, as a whole, the intensity probably wasn't where it needed to be or where it usually is for that 20 or 30 minutes. That'll definitely change this week. I think they'll come out, you know, all guns blazing. And just their control, which is what I thought they had the advantage of in that first game, of getting through their sets, getting, you know, really good kicks away and doing the simple things, the fundamentals right. They need to get back and do the basics with aggression. If they do that, they'll be really hard to beat.
I just couldn't believe, obviously 10-0 at half time, and I was a little bit nervous, but in the second half, they just seemed to go away from what was working for them, through the middle and on the edges, and then when they were 2 points down, they panicked. That was, you know, for a team that's won the last two series, and I'm not pointing at anyone in particular, but just as a team, they just seemed to panic all the time, and Daniel Tupou, when he made that run, I know he only made one mistake, and we've all done it, he threw that pass, but I think that was the frustration of where they were at. They were just trying to score, you know, all the time, a bit like Penrith in the grand final.
There's been two boys, a lot of talk on the back end of it about how it affected TV ratings, having it at that time of year. Have you guys got any thoughts on that?
Certainly. I think the fact that this US presidential election has been one of the most talked about worldwide events this year, certainly that had a huge influence on it. But it is a concern as well. Look, there's an element of fatigue, perhaps, because the Melbourne Cup was played the day earlier. Traditionally, once October rolls around, we don't generally see rugby league again until February when the trials start. And so There has to be an element of viewer fatigue there because the numbers, it was one of the worst in State of Origin history. I think it was only about the 1.5 million viewer mark that the audience hit. So it is a concern.
Good.
You need to also remember there was a couple of guys that started for New South Wales that you know, especially in those key positions. Tyson Frizzell hadn't played in a long time, 5.5 weeks. Jake Tavoyevic hadn't played in a long time as well. You had Payne Haas coming off the bench. Some of these guys hadn't played for 5.5 weeks. I think they were just a little more conditioned. They had guys that had played the Queenslanders, I mean. They had guys that had played a lot more recently, and probably their timing was a little bit better. You know, they just seem to have a little bit more petrol in the tank, especially in that second half. So you would expect now, you know, with Finucan coming in, with Brown, with Yeo coming in, guys that have sort of played at the back end of the season, and now those guys that hadn't played in a while with one game under their belt, you know, they just couldn't go hoops with Queensland in that second period in the middle.
Yeah, and people don't understand too, like the importance of Cam Murray, that injury, that just throws the whole rotation system and what he brings. He would have been perfect through that middle and on the edges. The way that he plays, his skill set, they missed him heaps.
Well, you can also throw in the fact that, you know, Boyd Cordner had to go off.
Yeah, 100%,
mate. And do the mandatory HIA. And as brave as he was to be able to get
too
back out
for
there.
His own good.
Wow, what a performance. Like, for him to come back from that head knock and all the head knocks that he's had this year, he's had a number of other challenges as well, injury and otherwise related. And I just thought it was a really stoic, lion-hearted performance from the captain. But now, as a result, after they've reviewed it, you know, he's ruled out for the rest of the series.
He ruled himself out, didn't he, Hoops?
I think after speaking with a number of medical experts and other people in and around the New South Wales camp and then also at the Sydney Roosters, I think he just decided that was, you know, there was a duty of care element there as well.
Because there have been some ex-players now come out, and I think Wally was one of them, and Benny have been really vocal about this. And it's funny when you sort of get into a room with other people that have been sports, you know, professional sports people back in the day, how some of the decisions that they would have made differently. And I think with Boyd, this is one that he'll probably look back on and say, you know what, it was a really hard one, but I made the right call because there's more to life. At this, when you're in your 20s and you're in the peak of your career, there doesn't seem like there's too much else going on. But when you get to our age, Dell, and you start thinking about some of the things that you put, you know, your body through, you know, you kind of wish you might have done some things differently because you kind of need it, Maroon. It's pretty handy.
You do. What about that, Hoops? What about Boyd Cordner moving beyond this year?
Well, where the alarm bells really went off on Wednesday night was it wasn't heavy duty contact. Like State of Origin, normally it's absolutely ferocious for the full 80 minutes. And no suggestion that it wasn't, but the actual incident itself, it wasn't among the biggest hits that we've seen this season. That's one way of describing it, absolutely. And so to see a warrior like Boyd Cordner lose his legs the way that he did, like he looked like a little bit like a boxer that's been in and around the ring for a lot of fights and has a couple of knocks. Knockouts, keeps getting back up because they're too brave for their own good. Where to now? Look, I think he's going to take an extended period off, Anthony, which he's earned because, as we discussed earlier, the Roosters, they've all played that much footy over the course of the last couple of seasons, going back to back and overseas for World Club challenges and all those types of things. So I think we'll see Boyd go and spend some time with his family, with his partner, really get a good rest in, and then he'll make a decision. He's still got 3 years to run on a Sydney Roosters contract, and I'm sure that the Roosters will always do the right thing by Boyd, but he has got a big decision to make.
133 53, call us anytime. Let's go to Campbelltown, Sydney Southwest. Sean has got a question about Boyd Cordner. Sean, what would you like to know, mate?
Yeah, hi guys. I'm a Roosters fan, but I was just wondering, do you think with Boyd that he should start to wear a headgear?
Yeah, it's a fair question, Sean. Look, I'm certainly not a doctor and never would profess to be, but I have spoken to people who work in the medical field about that, and their advice is actually that it actually doesn't make that much difference with headgear
it's
on.
It's not proven anyway.
No, there is no...
Better for cats and things like that?
Yep, that's it. But there's no medical science to suggest that wearing headgear would actually protect your brain any more, given the ferocity of the collisions, than if you don't.
What about one of those, like a Viking head? Viking helmets.
Oh, mate, honestly, Marine, you're just getting ridiculous now. Come on, mate.
I reckon you used to wear one of those. Like, remember the old stack hats? The old BMX bike stack hats, the big square numbers? They reckon you used to wear that on the Waterloo Waratahs bench.
I never got
and
to wear
it. The glasses taped on as well.
Pull the visor down. Prescription visor.
Oh, that's right. Make fun. Make fun. All right. Thanks for your calls. 1-3-3-5-3. Still plenty to come. Lots and lots of...
Get the water away from the visor. For God's sakes.
The old stack. Now, remember the old... Cut the old ice cream container. Stick it on. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more Origin. And we've got to do Maroon's quiz today and get through it. The blokes have been warned. We've got to get through the quiz today as Triple M rocks Origin.
Triple M's Origin Rumble. Lawyers.
And welcome back to our Origin Rumble for Bryden's Lawyers. And the number is 1-800-848-848. 1-800-848-848. Bryden's.com.au. Wendell, Gerds, Triceps, Hooper and Maroon. Talking Origin and joined now by one of the Queensland Origin players. Still only 19 years old. Let's welcome him to the Origin Rumble. Xavier Coates, g'day, mate.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, congratulations, too, on the other night.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a pretty big night for myself and the boys getting the first win in State of Origin, but we still got two games left to go, and the boys are preparing well right now, and we got training tomorrow and captain's run on Tuesday, so looking forward to Wednesday night.
Xavier, Wendell Sale here, mate. Congratulations the way you played, mate. I've seen you come through the system over the last couple of years. Mate, what's been the most proudest moment for you as a young PNG Queenslander?
Oh, I've had a few proud moments coming through, Wendell. I'd have to say last year, playing for my country, PNG, was definitely up there and definitely making my debut. And then this year, to top it off, getting the win on debut for Origin, and also just playing with the caliber of players we had. I think a fair few critiques said some things about, like, our team, how the New South Wales team was a lot better, but I think we showed the Queensland spirit on Wednesday night, and the boys are still digging deep right now, and we still got two games left to go, and I think we really want to dig deep and get the win for Queensland.
That's interesting, Xavier. You raise and mention the critics, the fact that a few people down here were quite critical of the Maroon side. I think somebody called it the worst Queensland side they'd seen in 40 years or something like that. Was that mentioned in amongst the playing group in the lead up to that game?
Oh, it was mentioned a little bit, like there was talks about it, but there was no doubt within the playing group or staff. The staff made it quite clear that we're all picked for a reason and we all had the capability of getting the win. So I think we just came into training with the idea that we're going to go out on a Wednesday night and give it our all and show the Queensland spirit. So we never had a doubt that we couldn't get the win, but it was good to sort of like let the critics know that we're not here just to play the game. We're here to compete as well, and I think we did that Wednesday night, and we want to do it the next two games as well.
You spoke about, Xavier, the guys that you were fortunate enough to go in and play with. What about the two guys coaching at the moment, looking after the group? I mean, how exciting was it for you to play underneath Big Mal and Wayne Bennett?
Yeah, it was really big for me. I hadn't met Wayne coming into the team before. I met Mal a couple of times and he's helped me out a fair bit in the junior camps, but meeting Wayne for the first time, I was a bit scared. I heard some stories about him and stuff, but nah, he's a really good bloke and really good coach, and he's helped me a lot with my game, and he's helped a fair few of the boys in camp as well. So it's really good learning underneath those kind of caliber of blokes, but I'm really looking forward to the next two games, and whether or not I get picked in the next games, I'm just here to soak everything up and enjoy my time in camp.
What did you think of his dance moves?
I think
you try and shake
pretty...
his hand?
No, I didn't go for the handshake. I just went straight for the hug with Wayne. I thought I didn't want to make anything awkward, but I just went straight in for the hug, and then, yeah, he busted a few dance moves. It was pretty funny.
Xavier, who's been the biggest character in camp? We know what Elf does, but as it plays, I think we've said it before, I love how Cam Munster swaggered into, actually, I don't know if it's swaggered, but he walked into camp and he just did a job. So who's been the biggest character away from, away from the footy?
I think I think Daly Cherry Evans has helped me out like a fair bit, and like Cam Munster coming from the grand final win the week before, and also like a couple of the players like Branko's helped me out a fair bit, and also Kafusi, he was on our edge for a bit Wednesday night, and all those like players have helped me out, not just them, but I think everyone else. Like I think we all come together really well in camp, and it's just like it's helping, and it shows on the way like we play, like how we played on Wednesday night.
Yeah, so, boys. Yeah. And I said this, boys, I said the way that Xavier played for a young Kieran Day, but one of the youngest Origin players, I think, since Israel Folau, he wasn't overwrought. He carried the ball. He loves the tough stuff. Obviously, he can finish, and he just, mate, that track was so fast, and he looked so good. Mate, Jarrell Yaos and Lottie Dakiri come through, mate. You should be very proud, and your family should be very proud.
How was it for you? Obviously, you know, you hear all about Origin as you're building up towards the game. All the old players tell you about it. You listen to the people on air, and you watch TV, and you read the papers. But you hadn't played for 5.5 weeks, coming into your first Origin game as an unknown. How did you feel about that? How was your preparation?
Oh, I think Wayne talked to me a bit about it before camp. We had a 2-week preparation before we went into camp, and we were doing a bit of skills and stuff like that. But as soon as I got into camp, Wayne told me just to stick to my normal routine I usually do for a game, and just not to hype myself up too much, just because when it comes Wednesday night, like all the nerves and everything will hit then. He said, just try and enjoy your time in camp with the boys, just make good bond with each other, and just like, just not try to think about it too much. Just like, trying to keep everything simple. Wayne's real good with that, so he's helped me out a fair bit with my preparations leading into the game. So, it's really good. And I also had a former Maroons player, Jarrell Yaos, helped me out a fair bit. He's just told me to back my skills, and I was a bit nervous at first as a 19-year-old coming into camp. I was sort of wasn't questioning myself, but it was a bit daunting coming in because I know like the caliber of players that are in this camp. So Jar helped me out a fair bit with backing my ability, and I'm really grateful.
Yeah, you certainly got some great people around you there, Xavier. Can I check with Mal Meninga? Did he come in and speak to the group about the history of State of Origin, and did he take you all the way back to 1980 and Arthur Beetson and all those types of champion things that we hear so much about from both sides of the border, from Queensland and also from New South Wales as well?
Yeah, so we had jersey presentation the day before the game, and Mal got up and talked to us about the history of State of Origin, and it was really quite interesting because I understood how big of a like stadium like it was, but just to understand like the history of it all, and we talked about Arthur Beetson and how he was the one that brought Queensland up, and it was really interesting listening to it all. But Mal talked to us about the history of Queensland, and it was really interesting.
Hey, do you want to take you back to it? We talked about, you know, Papua New Guinea and what it means to that country. Can I ask you about your good friend Justin Olam? What do you reckon that does for the people back in PNG watching you represent and obviously Olam winning that grand final like the way he has?
Oh, I think it does a lot. We have so much support coming from PNG. I didn't realise how much it meant to them until my mum's from PNG. So a fair few of the PNG supporters have been messaging my mum, and they've been sending videos, and from our like local villages, me and Justin, we get videos from them watching the games crowded around a small TV. It's really quite interesting, like how much it means to them, and like that brings our spirit up as well. When we play, we want to play for them. So I'm really, really proud to be a PNG fella. So it's really good.
All right, mate. Look, we'll leave it there. Congratulations. You got a lot to achieve at club level next year. We wish you all the best to it, the Broncos, mate. And all the best for game two.
Thank you very much.
There he is. Good on you, mate. Buddy. Good young kid. He's only 19 years old. Xavier Coates joining us on the Triple M NRL Origin Rumble. I'm just wondering, though, being a Brisbane Broncos player, when Wayne Bennett said to him, just your usual routine, does he just go and stand behind the goalposts?
You can't help yourself, can you? He comes on. He's an absolute outstanding young man, as you just pointed out, only 19 years of age. Yeah. He's just had the highlight of his career, scoring a try on his State of Origin debut and being coached by Wayne Bennett and Mal Meninga, and then you being the palooka that you are, have to try and take the shine off it for him.
Did you miss what I said? Did you miss what I said? That was
I didn't miss. It wasn't that funny, Anthony.
Funny, mate.
Let me just say it again.
I've got to admit, I didn't mind it.
I thought it was pretty good.
What a great interview, though. I mean, great kid. Just taking it all in and
You can see what it means to him already. So he'll be excited about Wednesday night.
Do you actually get it, Hoops? Like what I was saying was...
Yeah,
I get it, Anthony.
Yeah. No, I don't know that you do.
No,
I don't know
that you do.
It's
okay, mate.
We just didn't find it that funny, mate. Okay.
Now, in other news, Anthony, there's been some drama in terms of horse racing around the country. The Rose Hill races have been postponed because the TAB betting apps and I think shops and everything are shut down at the moment. And so, there's some problems. Wow. Punters haven't been able to have a bet as they normally would. I know that you normally like to open your wallet on a Saturday, Anthony, and let a couple of pineapples go flying out on the ponies.
Well, at least the racehorses will get a bit of a rest. They need it. They've been working pretty hard, the horses.
All right, boys. So what, can they fix this glitch or...?
Yeah, they're working hard to try and fix it, but the start of the races, Rose Hill races today, has been delayed.
Okay. Boys, we're going to take a break. It's the Origin Rumble, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, and we will come back. Our man in Brisbane, Big Benny Dobbin, will join us next to give us an Origin update from Brisbane as Triple M rocks Origin.
Triple M's Origin Rumble. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers.
Welcome back to it. Origin Game 2 is coming up, of course, this Wednesday. No rest for the wicked this year. We've been through the team changes and what the boys expect to happen. Let's get an update from the beautiful city of Brisbane, where they're still celebrating the win in Origin number 1. Triple M NRL's head man up there in Brisbane. Benny Dobbin, welcome to the Origin Rumble, mate. What's going on?
Yeah, g'day, Maroon. G'day, guys. Obviously, what Wednesday night was just a phenomenal spectacle for Origin, and anybody that thought that Origin was dead and buried in November, and there were people saying, oh geez, I just can't get into it, well, after half time everybody's back and we go to Sydney and this game's got so much, and we know that there's every possibility there could be a decider back in Brisbane in a little over 2 weeks' time. So exciting, can't wait for it.
Dobbo, what's the feeling like there in Queensland? Obviously they were a bit nervous, but it's funny, Queensland is like, when you pick those rookies, mate, they were going back and saying, oh, in 2001 this happened, and I think we spoke about it. We thought it was going to be tough, but they just found another gear, especially with, you know, guys like Mal Meninga, Neil Henry there. But, mate, where's Neil Henry been? People don't understand, like, he's done such a good job in behind the scenes, obviously, and Wayne has too, but everyone loves Wayne, so they give him the credit. But in that camp, they've done a good job so far.
Oh, Neil Henry's been the technical brains behind it all. And look, he's been the bloke that really did a lot, watched a lot of tape, cut a lot of tape, looked at New South Wales, looked at their patterns, and really assisted Wayne in getting a game plan, devising game plan. Yep, sure, Wayne sprinkles the magic dust over the top. Having Mal Meninga there, just the presence of him, I mean, it was quite impressive that Wayne's directing all the messages to Mal Meninga and he's relaying them to Alan Langer to give to the players. Like, that alone speaks volumes. But Neil Henry is the unsung hero of it all. And he stood just in the back. He hasn't done a lot of talking, but he's very much an integral part of this. And you're right, these young blokes, obviously there's some changes to New South Wales, but there's also, you know, forced injuries. One selection change in Cohen Hess being dropped out of the squad. But the big change is losing, obviously, Christian Walsh. We've lost AJ Brimson, but they bring Val Holmes in. Corey Allen's in that extended squad at the moment. They're just going to make some decisions in the next couple of days whether or not Kurt Capel will be right with that groin. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Dobbo. Obviously, with Capel, where's Brenko Lee? Now, would he potentially be available if Capel wasn't?
Oh, look, he's in the squad, but my mail is that he's still not right. And so that they're not going to prepare to risk him. And I haven't spoken to Kurt Capel, but I spoke to his mother, and she said he's going to be right. I rang his mother up. She's from Charleville. They own the tyre fitting shop out at Charleville. And Lynn Capel said, no, it's right. And then obviously the medicos said that it's not a tear and they're going to work overtime, and they're pretty confident they're going to get him right. I mean, there was a bit of talk before Wayne made these selections that they were actually contemplating putting Ben Hunt to six and shifting Munster to fullback, and if there was, they were going to drop, not drop, but put Val onto the wing and bring Harry Grant into that squad. But they haven't. They've shifted that and they've gone away from that. And Wayne says that's definitely not going to.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream, steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.